Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. And while you're going to Ezekiel chapter 38, and I'm going to read for you from there, remember that we're talking about the tribulation period. We've been looking at the political atmosphere of the tribulation period. We are mentioning and talking about the fact that the New Testament describes for us that there is going to be a gathering, a regathering of the 10 kings that are going to grow out of the old Roman Empire. And during the tribulation, they are going to ascend till you get to the middle of the tribulation, and they will gain great power. But that doesn't mean they're the only power on the earth during that period of time. As a matter of fact, when you take a pair of binoculars and look backwards, you go all the way back to the Tower of Babel, and you recognize that the world had been dominated by Gentile powers, and they were fighting for control to reach God their own way. And ultimately, God sends the flood, doesn't he? And he destroys everyone off the face of the earth. And of course, it's Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And all of the descendants that live and have lived on planet earth after Noah came through those particular young men. Their involvement in Bible prophecy is significant. At least, let me say, their descendants are. Their descendants, because they are what we would call the federal head or the representatives of the branches of families that are literally going to go out and populate the entire earth, are going to be used in the future. Those you know, descendants way on down the line are going to rise up again, and they're going to fight against those kings that are going to grow out of the Roman Empire. And so trying to keep all of that in mind gets a little difficult. So the way that I'm going to teach you today is we're going to do it through a series of repetition. Because let me tell you, it is complex. I am going to walk you through, we're going to look at a genealogy study. We're actually going to look at a grammatical study. We're going to look at a biblical study. We're going to look at a historical study. But the study's all the same. So what I've done is we just keep looking at it from different directions so that we can understand it and weave it all together. It is, if you love history, this is going to be a bunch of historical stuff. But more than that, it's going to transcend you into the future as to what's going to happen during the tribulation period. The real interesting, significant part of everything that I'm going to share is we're going to be looking at nation alliances. Nation alliances that perhaps are in seed form today, that are going to come to fruition, and at the middle of the tribulation, on towards the end of the tribulation, when those 10 Roman kings begin to turn on the harlot church of Babylon, the corrupt church coming out of Rome, they're going to turn on that church, they're going to persecute it, they're going to put those people to death until, and it's not a true church, it's a false church, it's going to be destroyed. And then ultimately, these power struggles that are the descendants from the other tribes coming from Noah's children are going to rise up from the northeast, the northwest, and the north, and they're going to come down and they're going to attack these Roman kings, and there's going to be an absolute major battle in the Valley of Megiddo near Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 is going to describe some of the aspects of those and is going to lead us into an understanding of what's going on during the tribulation period of time. Understand that many of those Old Testament prophets, they were looking ahead to what was going to happen in the tribulation and even into the millennial kingdom, and they didn't understand what they were writing. But they're giving us what? They're giving us, they're like taking an old digital camera and taking pictures. And here's a picture of something that's going to go on for 2.5 months. And here's a picture of another event. And here's another event. And what we have to do, understanding dispensational Bible prophecy, is get together and put them all together, don't we? We put them all together. And then it gives us an understanding of all of those little details. That's what we're going to do today. And there's a lot to it, but that's okay. I'm banking on your background and your study and your understanding of Scripture. I'm banking on the background that Aaron has been giving us on Wednesday nights. And so there's a lot of neat things there. So let me read for you Ezekiel chapter 38. I'm going to read the whole thing. I'm not going to read 39. And then we're going to jump into the slide presentation, and I'll begin to repeat myself about these in different ways so that you can comprehend. But let me read for you Ezekiel 38. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against them. Obviously, this is talking about what's going to happen to them, those that were an irritant even to Israel at that time. Verse 3, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws. And the idea there, it's like putting a ring in the nose of a cow. It is literally going through the calcium or through the bone so that they will be directed in the way that God wants them to go, even unto judgment, as opposed to what they've been doing themselves. It's like putting a hook in a fish, and you're going to drag the fish in, and the fish is going to fight, but it's going to go in a direction that it does not want to go. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. And really what he's trying to do is he's trying to describe a modern army using phraseology from antiquity. Okay? Now, if it would be like, Jack trying to describe the weapons from Star Trek. You know, they got out, or from Star Wars, they got out a flashlight, except the beam didn't go very far, and then they were hitting them each other with the light from the flashlight. You know, that's what Ezekiel's trying to do. He's trying to describe weapons and events and things that he doesn't even have the vocabulary to do. So you've got to understand that in prophecy. Verse 5. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, of the north quarters, and his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people. I'm at the phraseology there. That is just packed with prophecy. After many days, what is that talking about? There's going to be a restoration of Israel. The millennium is going to, you're going to be visited. In the latter years, you're going to come into the land. You're going to be brought back from the sword. And the sword that devoured them was the Chaldeans. And then 70 AD, it was the Roman sword. I mean, we could take a lot of preaching and walk through these verses, but we don't have time. And that's really not our point. But in the middle of verse 8, is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud and cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with them. Now, let me bring you back into context. This is talking about when the 10 Roman kings are now about to be opposed by all of these, you know, Gog, Magog, and the descendants and Libya and Cush, and all of these individuals are going to come and fight against these 10 Roman kings. So keep that in mind. They're going to ascend like a storm. And literally, this isn't the Roman guys. This is a whole nother alliance of people that are coming. Verse 10, thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. In other words, God's going to be causing them to do some things, and Satan's going to be working there as well. But God's going to cause them to do these things because it's the time of the judgment of these Gentile rulers. Verse 11, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. What is it talking about? It's talking about the first half of the tribulation period. Remember, these Roman kings come up. They make alliances and they cause peace to come in on the earth, albeit it's a false peace. Albeit it's a temporary peace, but do you remember what is going to happen? 168 A.D., the foreshadowing with Antiochus Epiphany, who slaughtered a pig on the altar. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 127 said, the abomination of desolation shall take place. That's in the middle of the tribulation. The peace that it says that is going to be broke and going to be devoured is literally by Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation. So if you're accustomed to taking notes, write by verse 11, write Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. Verse 12, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. And by the way, what's that talking about? The great regathering of Israel, the beginning of the tribulation period, the valley of dry bones coming back again, and Israel being restored, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? In other words, they're asking, are these great descendants of Noah's sons, are they coming to really spoil Israel? Are they coming to steal from these great kings that have risen up out of the old Roman Empire, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods? Verse 14, therefore, son of man, prophesy, say unto Gog, that's the guy who's coming to do this. That's the guy who's leading the armies. That's the guy who is going to attack during the tribulation, the great kings of the Roman Empire that have rose up during the tribulation period. Therefore, son of man, prophesy, say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts. That's critically important to understand that. Because where Jerusalem sits, you can just literally, and I'll show you on a map in a minute, you can take a fan and go all the way from China all the way over to Germany. You take a fan and it's going to cover all of those north parts. Thou and many peoples with thee. That is critical to understand too in the study that we're about to launch in. I'm going to tell you who those many people are and where they came from historically and why they're named and what they're doing. And I want you to pay close attention because you'll be able to see what's going on with the nation of the world today, the alliances with Russia, the alliances with China, the alliances amongst the Islamic nations, the alliances that are going on in the Baltic states and all that's going on. You can see the foreshadowing of many of these things. And I'll tell you what is going on with these north parts in just a minute. All of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. Now, literally, is it going to be horses? Maybe they're going to be horses. But again, Ezekiel's trying to describe events off into the future. And the horses that are going to come, those might be tanks, you know, they might be ships, they might be airplanes. He didn't know. Verse 16, and thou shalt come up against my people, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, and the heathen may know me, and when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before thine eyes. It is estimated that there's going to be 100 million that are going to gather in the valley of Megiddo in that particular area to do battle, which I believe are from the kings of the Roman Empire that has been risen up. And there's going to be 200 to 300 million that will gather from this entire group to come. And literally, they're going to gather in the valley of Megiddo, Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 25, Revelation chapter 14 to chapter 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. They're going to come there to do battle one against another and to control Israel. And in the time they're fighting one against another, all of a sudden, what happens? As lightning shineth out of the east unto the west, all of a sudden they see the Lord Jesus Christ begin to descend. And they literally gather into an unholy alliance. And this unholy alliance that gathers itself together said, we'll worry about fighting each other later. Let's fight him. And literally that's when these multiple languages, nations, peoples, tribes, kindreds, and kings all throw their weaponry to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be there because you'll be returning with him, coming to heaven to rule and reign. And that's when he goes, and they're all dead. All of these great descendants, and you'll learn about them in just a minute, and the staggering magnitude of this. And that's why just before this happens, the Lord puts forth a call. Because we're going to have to dwell Jerusalem. We're going to have to dwell Palestine. The Lord puts forth a call, and he calls all of the raptors in planet Earth to fly to Israel, to come there to feed on the flesh of kings and of captains and the people that are there. Eagles from North America, osprey from North America, from all over the globe, literally fly in flocks and descend on that area of Jerusalem to clean it up. Utterly amazing what is going to take place in the future. Verse 17, thus saith the Lord God, Art thou he of whom I have spoken of in old time by my servant, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a shaking in the land of Israel. By the way, who's speaking right there through Ezekiel? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's Christ literally speaking through Ezekiel. So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fail, and every wall shall fall to the ground. That's when Christ goes, can you imagine the power? No wonder it says that the voice of God is the sound of many waters. If you've ever watched on television and heard the sound of a tsunami or a mighty powerful flood of gush of water, the voice of God is as the sound of many waters, that sound that shall fall in judgment at the end of the tribulation upon these people. Can you imagine how difficult this was for Ezekiel to understand and to just get up, wrap his mind? It's hard enough for us when we've got all this history to understand. Look at verse 21. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, meaning those that came there to fight. They're going to fight each other. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. You see the idea of sanctify there? It means to set in a position far above so that they all recognize who God is. I'm going to set myself apart. And who needs to know who he is? Not only the nations that are being judged, but where is Israel at this time? Man, they have fled into the mountains like Petra. And once they see these armies, can you imagine being little Israel and have 300 million in armies come against you and multiple armies come against you to destroy you? You have no chance except for a Messiah. That's it, except for the Messiah. And so the Messiah comes and announces himself in a very dramatic way, doesn't he? He destroys all of these armies. Thus I will magnify myself in verse 23 and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Let's get into our study here. And by the way, if any of you that are over here want to, feel free to slip over because we're going to be looking at detailed prophecy things. By the way, let me back up just for a minute. This is hard for you to see, but some of you can see it. If you want to come up and take a picture of it later, that's fine. But these are the descendants of Noah, and these are the lists of nations that came through them. Israel obviously came through the Shemites. This is the Semitic races. And sometimes you hear me talk about the Semitic languages. That would be of that family. Of the descendants of Shem are the Elamites, the Assyrians that captured Israel, the Chaldeans, which also were used to do what? They were took over Babylon. That was the empire that was there. As well as the Lydians and the Syrians, all of the Syrian people. Of the line of Ham, this is Ethiopia, where primarily the black races came from. Meroe, Arabia, the Persian Gulf people, Asia, Egypt, Namibia, Libya, Paphos, the island of Crete, and all of the Canaanites that they went up against, that Joshua went up against, the Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkashites, Sintites, Arvadites, Zemarites, and Hamathites. And then Jephthah, this is the this would be the whites. This is Gomer, the Celts. This would be also Phrygia, Nicaea, the Rephaimians, the Armenians, the Scythians, the Medes, the Greeks, the ones from Tarsus, Cyprus, the Trojans, Thracians. All of those lines came down through the line of Jephthah, which is where we have a background. So those are the major lines. times. You can see how that they were used to populate the entire earth. Now, the tribulation period, we're looking at political powers aligned against the Roman Empire, those kings that rise up during the tribulation. This is called the Northern Confederacy. It is going to be made up of Rosh, Gog, and Magog. And in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39, it's a judgment on those nations for coming down to attack Israel, as well as the Roman kings that are there to attack Israel. Now, the chief prince, or the chief, is we get this. This is where we get the word Rosh, and that's what that word means when you're studying it, the scripture. Rosh is the head of a race. It is a Gentile name. The prince of Rosh is simply called Gog in Ezekiel 38 and verse 3. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince, and that's where we get our word in the Hebrew is Rosh there, of Meshech and Tubal. So he is this chief, the prince of Meshech and Tubal. So who is Gog, Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal today? In order to understand this, we needed to do a geographical study as to when Noah landed his ark on Mount Arafat, and ultimately they left and they began to disperse and they began to have children and multiply. Where did they go? And in understanding the regions that they went to, it will give us a historical geographic understanding, because those people are still there in those areas. They have still populated those areas. So out of the areas that they left and went and populated are going to grow up leaders and alliances and confederations that are going to come down and attack Israel. So we're looking at the background of Magog, Gomer, Tubal, Meshech, because these were the sons of Japheth, who was the son of Noah. So we're literally following right now the Japhethites. Magog, the second son of Japheth, the son of Noah, had the land of the Caucasus Mountain region. And this is the Caucasus Mountain. There's Russia right there. You can see what the outline of Russia. There's the Caspian Sea, and that would be the Black Sea. And in this particular area of the Caucasus Mountains, that's where Gog settled. And so Magog is literally the kingdom of which Gog is the chief. Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal in ancient times were called the Scythians. And so in that particular area is where the Scythians lived. They were nomadic people who roamed the country around and north of the Black and Caspian Seas, as we just looked. Rosh, after careful research, and this is where we're actually getting into the etymology and using grammar and studying names, and it's very complex, but you'll have to suffice it to understand that Rosh, after careful research, is Russia, meaning the prince of the king of the Russian Empire. The word Caucasus, of naming of which the mountains are named, Caucasus Mountains, really means God's fort. The Magogites were called Scythians by the Greeks as well. So when the Greeks were taking over with Alexander the Great, that was an area, they went up to the Caucasus Mountains, and obviously they're going to Gog's fort to take that. The descendants of Japheth then are the Russians, these are their groups, are the Russians, the Tartars, the Cossacks, the Finlanders, the Kalmucks, and the Mongols. You know, the Mongolian hordes? Yeah, well, those are the Mongolian hordes. So when you're talking about the line that is coming down through Japheth, where in Gog and Magog and all of these, you're literally talking about those groups of people, the Russians, the Tartars, the Cossacks, the Finns, the Kalmucks, and the Mongols. The Hebrew lexicon Genesius identifies Meshech as Moscow. So Gog is the ruler of Magog and the ruler of Meshech, and that really is where? It's Moscow. Tubal is identified as Tobolsk, the province of Asiatic Russia. Now let me show you what I mean by that. Asiatic Russia is literally going to be that which lies to the east. And I'm going to suggest in the future, and I believe this after studying this, that actually the alliance and the confederation of Russia, I believe, will probably take over China at some point in the future. Tubal is identified as Tobolsk, as I've talked about that. Moscow reflects Russia in Europe, while Tobolsk reflects Russia in Asia. So when you're looking at some of these names, you have to remember they're just really describing geographic regions in kind of a generic way. So let me recap. Gog is the future king then of all of Russia, parts and much of Europe, and actually Asia. Ezekiel 38:15, Gog will command a force of many people. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. Gog will make Russia very prominent. 38:7. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all the company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. It is going to be that which is very prominent. Russia will join with Persia, present-day Iran. Kush, by the way, when you're reading that in the scripture, is present-day Iran. Gog will be joined by Libya, or Put, as it is in the original language. Ezekiel 38:5 says, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and with helmet. But Put or Libya is not the Libya that you're thinking of in the land of Africa, but the people near Persia, which would be present-day Iran. So let me just stop for a moment before I jump into it any farther. What I believe is going to happen at some point in time in the future, and it may not even begin to really unfold until the beginning of the tribulation period. But obviously Gog and Magog, Rosh, which means the leader of Russia, the land of Russia, Russia and its eastern provinces, Russia and its western controlled provinces, Russia is going to have to control them somehow. Even if it's not necessarily that they take over them and it becomes the old USSR, but obviously there has to be some level of control, influence, and power and authority that is going to go over all of those nations. And obviously, God is going to cause them to do that in the middle of the tribulation period. And don't lose sight of the big picture here, because what is going on? Here's little Israel. And over here I'm trying to draw the map on your side, is Italy. And over there in Italy, up in this area, there the 10 kings are rising up from the old Roman Empire. And they're gaining in power. And I think they're going to gain in power in a belt line that's going to go up along near France and England up in here. But up in here is Russia. And they're going to be taking over, I think, clear into the interior, into Germany, all the way over and down into the Middle East, covering Turkey and Iran, all the way over into China, all the way up to the Ukraine. And they're going to be covering that entire area. So watch out when you're listening to the news for the alignment in these nations when they begin to make alliances and confederations, and as the world divides up into these things. It's going to be very interesting once you understand this. And God is going to put these things in their minds to bring them to Israel. And all of it, you know, all of the political things that are going on in the world and that will be culminated during the tribulation, all of this is going on for one reason. To bring Israel to the place as to where they'll recognize Messiah. Isn't that amazing? All of the global events that are lining up right now, all of the world leaders who have in their minds that they're doing what they think, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. All of these alliances, all of these arrangements, all of these, even the negative ones, that they think we shall defy God. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He will hold them in derision. All of this is being put together. It's all designed to do one thing. God is going to judge the Gentile nations. And he's going to use the tribulation to bring Israel to recognize whom? The Messiah, whom they rejected. John, and he came unto his own. Literally in the Greek means to his own people and to his own land. But they received him not. But there is coming a day. When what? As it says there, he is going to come in absolute amazing power and as the voice of many waters. Whew. Ezekiel 38 and verse 6. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, and of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Gomer may refer to modern Germany. Tagarma, Ezekiel 38:6. Tagarma may be Turkey and Central Asia, the land called Armenia, including the Turks, and even all the way up to the Siberian tribes. So you are talking of large landmass and multitudes of people, aren't you? You're just talking of millions of people sending forth their armies to do battle. The five allies against the that'll be united against the Roman kings of the tribulation are Agog, Rosh, Libya, Gomer, and Tagarma, which are all the descendants of Japheth that have settled in that area from Europe all the way up in through the Russia, the Black Sea, the Caspian Sea, the Caucasus Mountains, all the way down into China and Asia, into Turkey, in the Persian Gulf, all the way up to the area of the furthest reaches of Russia. Ezekiel describes a great confederacy of the lands of Northern Europe, Asia, Russia, the Arab states, and even Iran. This literally is a picture of Google Earth, and I brought this up so that you could get an idea. I put Jerusalem down here right at the bottom. There sits Jerusalem off the Mediterranean Sea. Obviously, the Black and the Caspian Sea. And there's the Caucasus Mountain. Goes all the way. This is what it's going to be. It's going to be an alliance of everything outside of the Roman Peninsula. I believe up here, all the way up there to the Ukraine. Not the Ukraine, but what's the other where they keep all the people in prison up there? Siberia, thank you. From Siberia all the way over, yeah, into the Ukraine area, all the way down to encompass some of the Baltic states, and I think including Germany, and will probably be cut off in a line somewhere in here, down into the old Asia Minor area, all the way down here into the Persia Gulf, into the area of, the Vietnam, all the way down towards Japan, all the way up, and that, all that realm is going to come underneath, the Japhethites are going to gather themselves together. And there's going to be an absolutely ugly, unholy alliance. And immediately, if you're a student of history at all, you say, how are the Mongols going to get along with the Germans, get along with the Russians, get along with the Chinese, get along with... How are they all going to ever come together? Are they ever going to get along? What has been removed from the earth that will cause a rampant unfolding of ungodliness on planet earth? Yeah, the Holy Spirit indwelling in the hearts of believers. And more than that, don't forget Jude 20. Angels which kept not their first estate are held in chains of darkness until the day of judgment. And I personally believe that when Satan fell in Genesis, that there are rank and file of demonic order that God does not allow to run to and fro up and down this earth right now, that are going to be released during the tribulation period. And their effect, because of the withdrawing of the Holy Spirit by the taking away of believers, their effect upon nations, upon peoples, is going to be a blinding. And God shall send them what? Strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. And multitudes of people are all of a sudden, yes, we will follow you. Yes, we will take the mark of the beast to buy and sell and to trade and to get gain. We will follow and do whatever you do. We'll gather together into great armies of millions, and let's descend down on the people of Israel and let's destroy them. And their plan would be to rebuild the temple and establish the throne of God there. And who would sit upon the throne if they were successful? Lucifer, son of the morning. And he says in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, I will ascend to the mount to the congregation of the sides of the north. I will sit on the throne and I will be the Most High. And that's his goal. But who stops him? And his lightning shineth out of the east, even coming unto the west. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And all Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. This great understanding of prophecy, the third alliance, and we'll get there next time. I want to stop here. The great alliance that is going to take place is nothing more than literally God in His sovereignty exercising His power in judgment to delude those who refuse the gospel right now. Brothers and sisters, what is the window of reaching these people? the dispensation of grace. How important is it that we do our part for global missions? How important is it? We are in the window, aren't we? This is the window, brothers and sisters. There is no other window. When the rapture takes place, in the events, the sequences from the prophecies of old, from, you know, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Zechariah, Matthew, Mark, 1 Thessalonians, and Revelation, when those books began to unfold their purposes under the plan of God, and the judgment begins to fall, there will come a time when they will seek me, God says, but they will not find me. There will come a time when they shall cry for mercy and shall not be heard. But right now we live in the dispensation of grace. And the fools that sit in the United Nations, and the fools that sit in their thrones who do not know God nor acknowledge God, and say, today we will arrange the map according to our understanding. We shall dominate and we shall take over the world, are doing nothing but playing into the very hand of he that sitteth on the throne, because he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and he will hold them in derision. He's King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords. Are you not grateful today that he is your Savior? I mean, think about that. Who are we? Who are we? We're these little people from northern Minnesota and the Hicks and the Sticks and the places up here. Who are we to know such a God? Who are we to know such a Savior? Who are we to know such a wonderful Lord? But he loves you that much. He cares for you that much. And if he is your Savior and your Lord, need we worry of any of these things? Should any of these things trouble our hearts? No. Because when the armies gather on planet Earth and they go there to attack Israel, you will be standing in rank and file behind your Savior. And when he leads forth, you don't even need a slingshot. Because you're with the King. You're with Almighty God. The one whose voice is as the thunderings of many waters. And as they turn their weapon, and I believe nuclear, I believe conventional, whatever they're going to have at that particular time, ICBMs launched out of the Russian Republic in China, as the ICBMs and who knows what else streak their ways through the sky to Messiah, you and I will be standing beside him just in absolute awe of our Savior, just to see what he does next. And I am still captured by the very fact, all this, and you and I are watching the intercontinental ballistic missiles streaking up towards us. And Christ looks around with that twinkle in his eye to his followers and goes, and instantly the blood is up to the horse's bridle steep in the valley of Megiddo. And they're utterly destroyed. That's your Lord. That's your Savior. That's your King. It's no wonder the Bible says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I have given you a fire hydrant drink out of stuff that could have been taught over a 6-month period of time. But I know many of you, you're smiling because God's Holy Spirit put a bunch of different verses together in your mind and linked up a bunch of things. And that's the beauty. I don't have to do it. It's God's word. It's God's work. But I hope that you'll read the book of Ezekiel with a new or refreshed joy. And I hope that you'll enjoy. We're going to dive in. Next time we're going to be going into more. We haven't even gone into the spirits alliances. And I haven't even described all of the detailed events of what's going to happen to Israel yet. We're going to talk about the details of Israel and what God does with them and how the changes of them, the 75-day cleanup period and all the details that are going to unfold. So we have a lot more fun things to cover in prophecy. Fasten your seatbelts. I hope that you've been learning stuff. Let's bow for prayer. I pray as John, Lord. This is what comes to my mind more than anything. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Glorify yourself in the nation of Israel. Glorify yourself in our lives this week. Help us not to be scared by the news. Help us not to be shaken by those who oppose powers or powers that oppose the people, or those that would exalt themselves and rattle their sabers, O Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I know in my heart, Lord, I guess one of the things I long for most of all is the blasphemers to know who you really are. The liars, those who won't even speak your name except with derision. I long for them to see you as you are, the way that by your grace you've allowed us to see you. But I know, Lord, you also want us to be burdened for them. So we pray for them. As you said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, your heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, Paul's was, is that they might be saved. So, Lord, we do pray for Israel. We pray for the gospel to go forth in great power right now for our brothers and sisters who are there. I pray that the gospel would go forth in great power in the Caucasus region, Lord, and through Germany and up into Russia and across, Lord, the Baltic states and into Asia and into Turkey and the stands and into China and up, oh Lord, all through the provinces, the northern provinces of Russia and into Europe and down into North Africa and into Southwest Asia and to Japan and down into Australia and then into South America. Oh God, help us to invest in missions. Help us to be missionaries. Help us to preach the gospel and to win souls. Well, there's still a window, Father, before you come back and the dispensation of grace comes to a close. So bless your dear people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.